أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين الذين آتيناهم الكتاب يتلونه حق تلاوته أولئك يؤمنون به وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِهِ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ
الرحمن الرحيم Huzoor says that in the previous Friday sermon with reference to the Holy Quran I spoke on this subject that why in the West there is so much hatred against Islam and people are laughing, making a joke of Islam. And I also told you that it's the promise of Allah Almighty that Islam will become victorious and also the Holy Quran will be kept safe and secure. So there is no doubt at all in this matter that these attacks, vicious attacks by these people can do any harm to Islam, nor they can diminish the beauty of this great book, the Holy Quran. Whatever efforts they may do, they will not be able to achieve any objective, and those people who are coming in the front and attacking, and even those people who are supporting them from the back and supporting them, their hatred and rancor against Islam, they are becoming more and more evident. Huzoor says, in any way, these opponents of Islam have to do this job anyway. So therefore, we don't have any worry about that. Allah Almighty has given us the assurance of the protection of the Holy Quran. But when this sort of things are being done from the opponents of Islam, then what should be our reaction to these things? An Ahmadi Muslim, what sort of attributes he should try to inculcate in him and what qualities he should have with which he can refute this attack of the opponents of Islam against Islam, and he could be ready for this defense so that he can become really an effective soldier of that spiritual army of Islam and help in the cause of that who was sent by God Almighty. And he could also receive those blessings which Allah Almighty has destined for those people who apply the teachings of the Holy Quran upon them and live according to them. So in this respect, Huzur says, today I would be mentioning certain things, what is required from those people. And regarding this beautiful teaching, what are the statements of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his greatest lover of all times in this age, explaining this point, what expectations he has mentioned from all of us. But before that, with reference to one book, I would like to say one thing, which I happened to see during the last few days. The name of the book is Women Embracing Islam. Regarding those ladies who embrace the message of Islam, the faith of Islam. And this book, it has not been compiled by one, compiled by Karen Newman. Actually, it is the gist of the investigation, the summary of the investigation, which was in a conference in Holland. Nijmegen is the name in Holland, and in the university there was a conference held and a research paper based on the investigations, they were read out. And in 2003 this conference took place, and then this lady edited the proceeding of this conference, and then from Texas University it has been published. In this book, as I mentioned, various opinions of various people are mentioned. And after writing this, the book begins in this way, that in the religion, for the last few decades, people are taking more interest. And then she writes that after 11 September of 2001, more and more people are taking interest in Islam throughout the world. The book says that this is the general feeling. This is the collective impression of those people who are opposed to Islam, and they are Christians. They think that people are taking interest in Islam. Or it may be the impression of those people as well who do not believe in God at all. The writer says that whether the person who has embraced Islam, whether he had this in mind or not, but generally it is understood that more than religious, actually political reasons are there for those people to accept Islam. Anyway, this is their thinking, and it is quite obvious that when political reasons are considered to be the reason, then the religious forces in the background will be very active. And one very interesting thing which has been mentioned in that book, that the very first missionary who came to America, he was an Ahmadi. And it is written there that this missionary came as a reaction of that onslaught, and the purpose was to stop that onslaught which the Christian missionaries had been doing, the missionary work in India. So as in a response to this activity, this missionary came. And he has just invented this thing of his own, that the purpose of his coming was to create such an atmosphere that the Muslim immigrants, they can find it very helpful there and very good for them. And for this reason, and for this purpose, the Ahmadis tried to convert the white Americans. But he says that they could only convert a few. And after that it is written that that those immigrant Muslims, they wanted to establish in America so that their number could increase. Those people put the Ahmadis outside the pale of Islam, and the Ahmadis thought that their efforts can only be successful in that case when they preach into Afro-Americans and tell them that you have got one identity which can only be obtained if you become Muslims. And moreover, you have got your roots in Muslims, and these people, the Christians, they have made you Christians by force. Actually, you belong to Muslim roots, and these people also did injustice to you. If you want to get equal rights, then you can only obtain in Islam. And in this way, Afro-Americans and African Muslims, they can become one power if they all become Muslims. So they say that this is the point which Ahmadis preached, and because of this attitude of the Muslims, and other Muslims also benefited from that. And as a result of this, Islam spread very rapidly among Afro-Americans, or is it still spreading? And the second large number of people are those who are white American ladies, white American ladies. And regarding the community, they are always twisting the facts, and that is how that makes it very clear that they don't want to tell the reality openly, because the way it has been mentioned, that clearly indicates that that they have the full information, no doubt, but they do not mention it correctly. And in one place, in this very book which I have mentioned, from among the new converts to Islam, they say that we asked one new convert, we asked her, why did you become Muslim? She replied that when you recite Kalima on becoming Muslims, then after that a person becomes so innocent as a newborn baby is. And then the concept of paradise is there, the sins are forgiven, and in the next life. So these things, so this thing that after reciting the Kalima one becomes pure and the sins are forgiven, this thing, This is something which cannot be tolerated by these opponent forces to Islam, particularly in the West, because it makes it very clear that among one section this question is being raised, that the concept of atonement is wrong, and those people who are worried about their sins, they can think that a person becomes sinless and then in the next life he is going to get the reward of that. And this is actually refutation of a fundamental belief in Christianity, which these people cannot tolerate and cannot digest. So in any way, so this is a well thought plan, and they are doing attacks on Islam on the basis of this. I have just mentioned one thing very briefly, because these are various papers which were read in that meeting, and it's a compilation of all that. So here and there are some good points about Islam as well. But whatever may be the situation, when they deduct these results and inference, and so in that case, though the opponent forces to Islam, they will get united. And it was very essential that they should all join hands, and that is what happened. Now, once again, I go back to the original thing which I started with, that what should be the role of an Ahmadi in this background, in such circumstances? The very first thing is that an Ahmadi, when he initiates into Ahmadiyyat and he does his bath, then he makes the promise that he does it for the sake of a pure Reformation, and that's why I have joined into the bath of the leader of the time. He should be fully reminded of that I have to develop my relationship with God Almighty, and that can only be done when I become fully submissive to God Almighty. So that can be done by raising the standards of worship. And secondly, one should be always be paying attention to that teaching which in the form of the Holy Quran has been revealed. And Allah Almighty says about that my book, you read it as it should be read, as is the right way of doing it. As I have recited the verse, Allah Almighty says in that verse which I have just recited in the beginning, that those people who were given this book, while they recite it in the same way as it should be recited, these are the people actually who in fact believe in that. And whosoever is going to be there who deny that, those are the people who are the losers. What is the right of tilawat? The word which has used here, the right, the duty of recitation or tilawat is that whatever do's and don'ts are there, they should follow that. They should do which are asked to be done and which are people have been stopped from doing. They should stop from there. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had this claim of the Jewish and the Christian people in front of him, that we also have a book. They wanted that Muslims should accept their statement and their message. So Allah Almighty has rejected one thing mentioned by the Jews, that your book is no longer worthy to be called a true book, because your actions are against that. You hide certain things and you mention and display something while hiding other things. So therefore, your book cannot give the guidance. But now, after the advent of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the revelation of the Holy Quran, it is the Holy Quran which can show you the right path to salvation and guidance. And this is the book which is going to establish the truth and guidance in the world today. So therefore, the companions, may Allah be pleased with all of them, they proved that their lives, and their lives are the true proof of the fact that these are those believers. They really did the tilawat as it should have been done. And these are the believers. Because Allah Almighty has mentioned that the actions are related with their firm belief. So the true believers are those who do the discharge the full responsibility of tilawat. And true believers are those who actually perform the good deeds. So therefore, those who perform the full, discharge the full responsibility regarding the tilawat, they are those people who actually are those who do the good deeds. So in this age, this is a warning as well, in this age for the Muslims, that if you recite the Holy Quran and you do not do those things which are commanded in the Holy Quran, then your faith is not complete. According to the situation of this time, the times of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam has mentioned and he has warned everyone. It's quite evident, everyone knows, it is mentioned in the sayings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And in these circumstances, it was destined that the advent of the promised Messiah should take place when such circumstances are there. So therefore, the responsibility of tilawat can only be discharged by those people who in this age are actually joining the community of this Mahdi, the rightly guided person, and also acting upon those commands, the commandments contained in the Holy Quran. So this is the responsibility of each and every Ahmadi, that he should scrutinize and assess as to how far he is acting upon those commandments which Allah Almighty has given us through this Holy Quran. Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salam says that people read the Holy Quran, but they just read it like a parrot without understanding. They just go on moving. Just like a pandit, when he opens up his bundle and he goes on reading it, he doesn't understand himself nor the people understand it. Similarly, if the people are generally doing the tilawat in this way, that they read two or three parts and do not understand anything at all. At the most, they may recite it in a melodious voice and qaf and ayn, and they pronounce it in the proper way. Actually, it's a good thing to recite the Holy Quran in a melodious voice, but the real purpose of the tilawat, the recitation of the Holy Quran, is that the deeper meanings contained in the verses of the Holy Quran should be known by people, and a person should bring about a revolution and reformation in oneself. Please remember that there is a beautiful philosophy in the contained in the verses of the Holy Quran. There is an order, there is a discipline. People don't appreciate that. If the order of the Holy Quran and the discipline is not followed, and people do not ponder over the verses of the Holy Quran, then the real objective of the recitation of the Holy Quran are not going to be fulfilled. So this is actually the way in which it should be recited. And Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam has explained it fully. There was a time when Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Rabi, after feeling that the members of the Jamaat, some of them, they do not recite the Holy Quran properly, he pointed out that it should be read correctly, because there are certain mistakes. There used to be the vowel points, they were not pronounced properly, and as a result of that, the meaning is changed, or the subject is not properly understood. So he reminded everyone to be careful about the proper pronunciation of the Holy Quran. And after that, the members of the Jamaat have been paying special attention to this thing. But now it is very much needed that members of the Ahmadiyya Jamaat should pay attention to the translation of the Holy Quran. The auxiliary organization, they should pay attention, and also the administration of the Jamaat. The Ansarullah UK has started a program through internet. They are teaching the translation of the Quran. It should be utilized, because if you know the meaning, only then you will be able to understand what are the commandments. And as Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned, only then you will be able to reflect and ponder over the meanings, and you will be reminded of doing accordingly and implementing those. And this is actually the right of tilawat. This is the real purpose of recitation of the Quran. Somebody asked a question from the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, that how the Quran should be recited. The reply of the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam was that you read it with full pondering over it and understanding its meaning. There is mentioned in Hadith that there are so many people who read the Quran, but actually the Holy Quran invokes curses upon those people. The one who reads the Quran and doesn't act according to the commandments of the Holy Quran curses upon that person. So when you recite, when you go over the verse which is mentioning the mercy of Allah Almighty, then you should seek mercy and blessing of Allah Almighty. And where Allah Almighty has mentioned about the punishment of some people, then you should seek protection, and you should supplicate to God for this protection to be given to you. So you should read the Holy Quran with full understanding and pondering, and you should act according to this one. This is the way which Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam has taught us about the reading, the proper way of the reading of the Holy Quran. And as I have said, this is only possible when you understand the meaning of that. There are quite a few people who do the tilawat very nicely, and it is very melodious, it pleases the heart. But simply the beauty of the voice does not give any benefit to those people who listen, unless they really recite it after full understanding. If a melodious voice, somebody recites the Quran in that one, it can give benefit to those people who those people who are listening this in a beautiful voice, and he also knows the meaning. He can benefit from that. When he listens about the prophecies, and then he sees that these are being fulfilled in his time, then he becomes grateful to Allah Almighty. That in this, the prophecies, he has been able to see, witness the fulfillment of these prophecies in this age. And on top of that, he becomes very grateful, and Ahmadi becomes grateful for that. And he becomes grateful that the prophecy made by the Holy Prophet ﷺ about the advent of the Messiah, Imam Mahdi. In this age, these Quranic prophecies were destined to be fulfilled. We are enabled to, gifted with the belief in that Messiah and Mahdi. And then new scientific discoveries are there. While looking at that, our hearts are filled with gratitude to Allah Almighty. 1400 years ago, Allah Almighty told us these things through the Holy Quran. The previous nations who denied the truth of the prophets, and the result which they was meted out to them as a denial, and any person who has got the fear of Allah, who understands the meaning of the Holy Quran, he would always seek the protection of Allah Almighty while reading these things. That Allah Almighty has saved us from this result, this outcome, and may Allah also protect us in future as well. So the more you understand and the meaning of the Holy Quran, the more you will increase in your faith on the book revealed by Allah Almighty. And this is actually the thing which is going to enable us to discharge the responsibility of the Talawat as it should be. What is the advice given by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? In one hadith it is mentioned that Abu Ubaidah, it is mentioned that Hazrat Abu Ubaidah Maliki radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he is one of the companions, he narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, O people of the book, don't go to bed without reciting the Holy Quran. Recite the Holy Quran at the time of night and during the day as it should be done in the proper way, and spread the message of the Holy Quran, recite it in a melodious voice, and also ponder over the meanings mentioned in that so that you could be successful. So this verse has been further explained that what is the right way of doing the tilawat and recitation. You will not only be securing yourself against any loss, but you would be actually becoming one of those people who are going to be successful. And you are going to be one of those people who get successes after successes. And in one hadith it is also mentioned that the status and the benefit of the parents who inculcated this habit of reciting among their children is also mentioned. Saad bin Muaz says, Johni, he relates from his father that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that anyone who read the Holy Quran and acted upon that, on the day of judgment, the parents would be given two crowns, and they will be glittering like they would be shining like sun. More than that, and so when the status of the parents is going to be like that, so you can just imagine what would be the status of that person who read the Quran and also acted upon its teaching. So therefore the parents have to pay attention to this one, that this is the honor which is going to be given to the parents who teach the Holy Quran to their children. So they should be teaching this beautiful book, the Holy Quran, and also they should inculcate this not only the habit but this desire in their children to read the Holy Quran. And then another hadith says, Ummul Mumineen, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa رضي الله تعالى عنها narrates that the Holy Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that the person who recites the Holy Quran, reads the Holy Quran and memorizes it, he would be along those scribes who are going to be great honored and very glorified people. And those people who read the Holy Quran and acts upon all his teachings very firmly, he is going to get double reward. He would be rewarded doubly. And another hadith says, Hazrat Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما says that the Holy Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that surely the hearts are polished as other things are done. And then he was asked that how these hearts are cleansed and purified and become shining. And the reply was that you remember the death very frequently and reading the Holy Quran. These are the two things he mentioned. So the remembrance of the time of departure will not keep a person unmindful of the remembrance of Allah Almighty. When somebody remembers that there is going to be a day of accountability. And secondly, the Holy Quran, the recitation and reciting in a way which is really the right way of doing it. And a true mu'min, a believer, he is the one who gets the true reward in this life. And also in the hereafter there is a noble reward for him in store. If people are purified and they discharge their responsibilities towards Allah and human beings, if they are mindful of that, they are going to get these rewards. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he used to recite the Quran, this explanation is also very essential, because some people, they recite the Quran very quickly and considered it as a special ability, while the style, the noble style of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very much different. According to one hadith, it is mentioned, Hazrat Qatada narrates that I heard from Hazrat Anas about the way the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite the Holy Quran. So I asked him this question, and he replied that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite slowly, slowly, not in a hurry, but slowly, slowly he used to recite. And it is mentioned, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, that there are various aspects of the meanings of the Holy Quran, and there are various layers of the meanings, and they are just like the jewels. So whenever you go deeper, then you see, are able to perceive a new beauty in that one. So there was no one who could know better than the depth of the meaning of the Holy Quran. So when he used to recite the Quran, the Holy Quran, slowly, bit by bit, then he must be reaching to the highest pinnacle and the highest point of understanding the deeper meanings of those words. And that reminds us to the fact that the Holy Quran should be recited carefully, pondering over it, and slowly, bit by bit, and we should be pondering over the meanings of those words. And regarding this reflection, and one should reflect on that, and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam admonished a companion about the that one should be reflecting on the meaning of the Quran. And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked that companion that when you recite the Holy Quran, you complete it in 1 month. And then I said that I can complete the one reading earlier than that. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said, then you may complete it in 1 week. And do not finish the one full reading before that. That is to say, in less than 1 week. So if that is the case, it is not permissible that one should complete one reading in less than a week. Because nobody can actually ponder over the meanings of the Holy Quran. It is not the intention that one should quickly go over the Holy Quran. So this indicates also the love and the desire which the companions had for the recitation of the Holy Quran, and how important they considered it. And in this age through which we are passing, the importance of the Holy Quran is all the time more because the priorities are changed. Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam says that he says that I have when I pondered over the meaning of the Holy Quran, then I came to understand that there is a deeper meaning it, that this is the book worthy to be read, and this in this age, this is the book which is really worthy to be read, when other books are also going to be put together along with the Holy Quran for reading. So in order to get the real blessing and also to get the true light, this is the book which is worthy to be read, and the other books should be left alone. So this is a very important point, which that in this age, by reading this book, the Holy Quran, you can reply to the allegations of the opponents, and that is the defense of Islam, and that is to safeguard the honor of Islam. But what should we do? Is it only the reading is essential? The words of the Promised Messiah are very clear, that in order to protect the honor and to refute the falsehood, it is very essential to read the Holy Quran, and the Holy Quran gives those arguments. So you have to find out those arguments and then use it. And that falsehood which is attributed to Islam, that can only be uprooted with the guidance and the reasons given by the Holy Quran. And this is the principle through which the honor of Islam can be protected. And the falsehood can also only be eradicated when in each and every action there should be a reflection of the teaching of the Holy Quran. And this reflection will be only in that case when we ponder over the meaning of the Holy Quran, and we become like among those people who really do the tilawat as it should be. Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam says that if you leave the Holy Quran, to think of success is impossible, and such a success is just an imaginary, wishful thinking. And these are the people who are those people who do not read the Quran and they want to be victorious. They are just trying in futile. Remember the example. Look at the example of the companions. When they followed the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they preferred the religion over the worldly things, and all the promises which Allah Almighty gave them, they were all fulfilled. In the beginning, the opponents, they used to laugh at them, that they cannot come out openly and freely, and they claim that one day they are going to be victorious. But they completely lost themselves in the obedience of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they got those benefits which they could not attain in centuries. What was the obedience to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This was actually acting upon fully on those teaching which was given by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was revealed to him and then he conveyed to the people. And the whole world saw, as the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned, that in that town in which they couldn't move freely, a time came when these people were also thrown out from that city. But because of the obedience and following the teaching contained in this book, these people, they came back victorious in the same town. So we should always remember that today as well, all of our victories will be through following the teachings of the Holy Quran. And reciting in a melodious voice, in a good voice, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that there is a hadith. Hazrat Bara bin Azib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that in the beauty of the Holy Quran, you increase the beauty of the Holy Quran through your beautiful voice, because the good voice also increases the beauty of the Holy Quran. Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam says in this regard that you recite the Quran in a melodious voice, but rather he says that so much emphasis is there that the one who does not recite the Holy Quran in a melodious voice, he is not one of us. And actually there is a great impact in that. A good speech, if it is done in a good voice, then it really creates impact. The same speech, if it is done in a very an impressive way, which is not very clear. So in that case, there is not going to be any impact of such a speech. And if Allah Almighty has put some impact in this one, in melodious voice, then what's harm in using it? It is mentioned that when Hazrat Dawud used to supplicate in his melodious voice, the mountains and the birds, they used to supplicate along with him. So this melody of human voice is also the benefit. And Hazrat Masih Maud Salat Wasalam said that those people who are impressed by good voice, melodious voice, in order to impress these people, that should be employed. And then they should be delivered from the wrong conceptions that they have. And this book to which I referred earlier on, many of the women, they have mentioned in that book that why they accepted Islam, and they mentioned that when they listened to this teaching and pondered over the teachings, and then they liked it and they accepted it. So this thing that they have mentioned, that they liked this teaching, that is actually the claim of the Holy Quran. That the real teaching of the Holy Quran, which is according to nature, and those paths of guidance, they are all contained in the Holy Quran. As Allah Almighty says, Inna hazal Qurana yahdi lillati hiyakwam wa yubashirul mu'minin lazina yamaluna salihate anna lahum ajran kabira. And that means that surely this Quran, it guides to that path which is everlasting, and those believers who do good deeds, there is a glad tiding for them that there is a great reward for them. So this declaration of the Holy Quran, it is for non-Muslims and also for Muslims. The guidance and the objectives of the Holy Quran are great. And this guidance and this Sharia is for all times to come. While the previous Sharai, the books, the scriptures, they were only limited to the time and space, and they were not the perfection was not there. They were not according to nature, human nature. So for pious people, rightly minded, rightly inclined people, the acceptance of the guidance by these people is actually the proof of the truth of the Holy Quran. So this is a message for everyone. For non-Muslims, and we have to convey this message to these people that in future, if you want to get the spiritual and secular benefits and blessings, then this, the Holy Quran, they have to act upon the teachings of this Holy Quran, and only then you will be able to get it. The blessing, glad tiding for the believers is that as long as you are performing good deeds and you are trying to achieve the high objectives, then these rewards and blessings as a result of this good action will continue to increase, and they will be very sublime and very noble. And as Huzur says, I have already mentioned earlier on that the recitation of the Holy Quran, this responsibility is very important, and they should always take care of that, and it's a great responsibility which has been put on the shoulder of a Muslim. And not only every Muslim, in his own person, he should take care of this responsibility, but in relation to the coming generations, this responsibility is also put on his shoulder. It should not be in this way that he should be just boasting on this thing that we have been given such a book, the status of which is higher than all the previous scriptures. But they should be worried about this thing, that they should apply this teaching to themselves, and they should act upon that teaching. And as a result of that, they should become deserving of those rewards which are promised there. And also, this teaching should be well established among their generations and progeny. Otherwise, if that is not done, then if all Ahmadis do not understand this very important point, and they just go on being happy that we believe in the Holy Quran, as I have mentioned with reference to the context writing of the Promised Messiah, then the Holy Quran actually curses those people. So in order to be protected from the punishment, wrath of Allah Almighty, and to get the good rewards, then following the teachings of the Holy Quran is the real thing. And as long as we are firmly established on this teaching, then the paths of guidance would be very clear and available for us. We will be able to see those paths and will be able to show it to other people. Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam says that this Holy Quran guides us to that path in which there is no bit of crookedness, and it is exactly in line with human nature. And this is one of the outstanding features of the Holy Quran, that it is a like a complete circle. It looks after all the faculties of human being, and that right path, that which is very close to human beings, for the excellences for which human beings have been created, the path of all these excellences are shown through these teachings. And to make those paths available and to make those paths easy, for which the ability and capability has been invested in the human nature. And Yahdi Lillati He Akmam, exactly this is the rightness which is mentioned there. And then he says about this book which is according to human nature, he says that this Holy Quran has not brought altogether a new thing, but it reminds all that internal teachings, Sharia, for which the capacity and the ability is there, knowledge is there, taking care of other people, perseverance and contentment and all these type of qualities. All these good qualities which are given in human beings, the Holy Quran reminds the people about these things, as this Kitab-e-Maknoon, this hidden book is there, and every person was not able to see that book. Similarly, the one name given to this Holy Quran is Zikr, so that it should be read. And then when it is read, then this light of which is given in the heart of a person, that is reminded to that person, and he is reminded of that. So by sending the Holy Quran, Allah Almighty has shown a spiritual miracle by revealing this book, so that the human beings, these deeper meanings are become attainable for a human being, which were not available to him before that. So regarding the reading of the Holy Quran with utmost care, Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam says that with full pondering and thinking it should be read. He says that there are 700 commandments in the Holy Quran. If there is any person who ignores one commandment, he actually closes the door of salvation for him. The true path of salvation has been opened by the Holy Quran, and all other things are just subordinate to that one. So you read the Holy Quran with utmost care and love it more than anything else, such a love that you have not shown it in respect of anything else. So as Allah Almighty has told me, Al-Khairu Kulluhu Fil Quran, that all types of virtues and goodness, they are all in the Holy Quran. This is the fact. And woe to those people who prefer anything else upon the Holy Quran. All your guidance, the fountainhead of that, is in the Holy Quran. There is no such your worldly requirement which is not mentioned in the Holy Quran. The one who attests your faith on the Day of Judgment, that is the Holy Quran. And without the Holy Quran, under the firmament heaven, there is no other book which without the recourse to the Holy Quran can give you the guidance. That without the going through the teachings of the Holy Quran, they cannot give the other books, cannot give you the salvation and guidance. This is a great blessing that he has given such a book. I tell you honestly, truly, that this book, if which was given to you, if it was given to the Christian people, then they would not have been destroyed. And this blessing and bounty and guidance which has been given to you, if instead of Torah, this book had been given to them, then some of their denominations would not have been denying the Day of Judgment. So be grateful for it. This is the utmost beautiful thing that have been given you. This is the greatest wealth. If the Quran had not been there, then the whole world would have been just like a heap of filth. And all other guidance, they are insignificant as compared with the Holy Quran. So these are the expectation of Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam from an Ahmadi. acting upon all the commandments of the Holy Quran, which can show us the paths of guidance. For this, with great intensity, with great devotion, everyone should work very hard. If we have this claim that we have to find out the paths of righteousness, and for this very purpose we have believed in the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, then this taqwa can only be obtained by following those paths on which the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam walked. And if this is the claim, that we have believed in the Imam of the age, and we are going to bring about a reformation in the whole world, and we are going to create a revolution, then we must have to bring about this revolution in our own self. And we have to bring about this revolution among our children. And in our society, in our environment, we have to bring about this revolution there. We have to shut the mouths of those people, those acting upon this teaching of the Holy Quran, those people, we have to shut the mouth of those people who are criticizing the Holy Quran and Islam. Those who are now getting for it, that why these people are paying more and more attention to Islam. Why people are turning to Islam. And for the investigation of which, in various countries, money is being spent to investigate this matter. If someone thinks that they are trying to find out the beauties of the Holy Quran, then what are the beauties for which people are being attracted to the Holy Quran, then this is a misunderstanding. They are not doing it for that purpose. This investigation is actually for this purpose, so that those powers and governments should be warned who are against Islam, that you should not minimize the importance of this or ignore it. And you do whatever you can do against Islam, whatever attempts and whatever policy you have to plan, this is the time to do for that. So today, this is the responsibility of an Ahmadi today, that this great book of Allah Almighty, that they should do full justice to the recitation of the Holy Quran, and they should protect themselves and also protect the whole world. Because those people who are attracted to Islam and they are paying attention to it and they have not yet become Ahmadis, there are many such people, and these people, eventually these people are going to come into the lap of Ahmadiyyat one day. So for this purpose, every Ahmadi has to prepare himself. Today, these forces opposed to Islam, when they are employing these vicious methods, and vulgarity is going on, and indecent actions are being done, then our responsibility becomes all the time more, that we should read this message of Allah, we should ponder over it, we should act upon it, we should think of the deeper meanings of it. And more than ever before, we have to submit to the one who revealed this great message, so that we can get those blessings which are invested in this message of the Holy Quran. May Allah enable all of us to do so. Ameen.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.